This is Karen Lyle with SailSport Talk, checking in on the America's Cup. America's Cup has always been a boat design race, putting their competition to work to push forward sailboat design. 2024 will host the Women's America's Cup and the Youth America's Cup on the AC40, the younger sister of the AC75. The AC40 is a result of those technological advances, a foiling monohull that is 11.8 meters, 38 feet long. Here is Nathan Outeridge describing the autopilot systems on board the boat that help the pilots sail on the water with the assistance of highly sophisticated technology.
So the AC40 is, you know, an incredibly complicated boat, but to make it simple and easy as possible to sail for the Youth America's Cup and Women's America's Cup, the systems on board have been designed so that it's actually quite an easy boat to sail despite how complex it is. One of the things that makes the boat so easy to sail is the autopilot. So there's a simple button here on the left-hand side which you can just switch the boat into autopilot mode, and then effectively for flying the boat you've got two real inputs. You can either adjust the height at which the boat sails or how much foil you have in the water with a simple plus and minus. And then there's the trim, so you can change the attitude of the boat, more bow down, more bow up. And so, you know, for someone like myself who has a lot of foiling experience but never sailed a boat like this, it's been pretty easy through the commissioning just with the way that the autopilot software works. So then the other panel of buttons here is all to do with the boards up and down system. So you got a board up button and a board down button. You can also do a plus and minus on the cant system. So effectively from this seat here, you can do all the functions you need for flying the boat. So the AC40 sails with four people. You've got two people on each side. As you can see, I'm in a bucket seat here and we've got another one at the back. I'm almost sitting on the floor, so you're incredibly low and out of the wind, and it's the same configuration on the other side. And then the aero trimmer sits behind you and they've got controls for the mainsail and the jib at the back of the boat. So one of the cool things about this is you can choose if you want to trim the mainsail or the jib, because every time you tack and jibe, you know, the way the boat's been designed, that the mainsail trimmer will be sitting on the windward side and the jib trimmer will probably be sitting to leeward because they have a much better view of the jib. So a simple button press will switch you from main functions to jib functions. And then you've got a bunch of push buttons. So you've got Cunningham control, the clew position, so you've got the card that slides on the clew, so you're basically creating more depth in the sail and making the sail flatter. When you tack and jibe, obviously the mast needs to rotate, so a button actually lights up, it turns purple, and you push that button and it rotates the mast. So there's a lot of software that's been developed in the background to stop you basically doing any damage to these boats. So, you know, if you're overpowered, you can just hold your finger on the Cunningham, you pump it super hard, it hits a pressure relief, the lights up and says you're at max load and you can take your finger off the buttons.
This is Karen Lyle with SailSport Talk.
Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you all around the world. And it is Tuesday at 9:40 Pacific. This means that we are talking to Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. First of all, Karen, I understand birthday wishes are in order. Happy birthday.
Oh, I was not necessarily going to announce that, but yes, thank you so much.
The gift with no name on it, that was from me.
Oh, is that what came in the mail yesterday? Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I was looking, you know, Tom Slingsby is a guy we've had on this show multiple times. And I saw that he's now on Pensacola Bay with the New York Yacht Club, and they're working with their new AC40, which they have christened America. Good name, not very imaginative, but they're getting ready for the, of course, America's Cup. So they're going to have that AC40. Apparently it's going in 15-knot winds down there. They're going to get another one, and they're going to head over to Barcelona in the summer. I was looking at a very interesting foil on this. It's almost like it's convex and concave. It's all twisty and curly. There's one on each side. I guess that's the new thing, huh?
Well, and yes, what they've done with the America's Cup for the box rule for the upcoming America's Cup is it's built upon the same one that they did last time. Basically, to make it more affordable for teams to compete in the America's Cup, because when they have to design from absolute scratch, not building upon the previous America's Cup, then it's a lot more expensive. And so they really liked working with these foiling monohulls in the last America's Cup that we had. And so they're going to be doing that with the future. So it's actually, I didn't really know how that would work, but it is very exciting. These monohulls foiling are just, I think, quite as exciting as the catamarans that are foiling in the CLGP and the previous ACs.
Maybe you can help me with this, but I know that these foils, you can pull them up from the side and you can put them down, and they act kind of like wings if they're on one side or the other. But you know, you're the bottom, the hull of the boat, it looks like it never touches the water. This is about, I don't know, maybe a foot, 6 inches to a foot above water the entire time. How is it that these two sails, which look completely flat and look, you know, vertical with the shape of the boat, how are these moving this thing along? Because it doesn't look like a traditional ship where the sails unfurl and you can see the wind pushing it. They just look like two walls.
Well, first of all, the boat does rest in the water when it starts moving. So it has to get enough speed so that it rises up onto the foils.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's not enough wind, the boats actually will not go up into the foils. The second is that knowing where the wind is coming from and where you position the sails in the wind is really critical on this. So it is the angle of the sail to the wind that causes the wind to either pull or push it. And so if you think about a circle like the clock, right, if you have between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, that's the no-go zone. So those sails would not be able to push or pull the boat in that particular, you know, going straight into the wind or anything less than approximately 45 degrees angle to the wind. When the wind is coming over the one side or the other of the boat, which would be either the port or the tack side, then it basically is pulling it, and it's because the airflow on either side of that wing is evenly flowing, and it's very much like an airplane, especially with these foiling catamarans and monohulls, because the boat is lifted up out of the water. You know, it's operating under very similar principles.
You know, the America's Cup is going to be in a year and a half, so it's all well and good to do all this testing way in advance. But what about competing? What are some of the things, some of the events that they can throw this boat into until then?
Well, right now is the time for design and reconnaissance. And so in previous America's Cup years, what they had was they had reconnaissance teams, that every team had its own reconnaissance people who went out to spy on what the other team was doing when they were out testing the boats, because everything is done under a closed cover, you know, inside of an enclosed area, so that the other teams cannot see until they actually have to go out and test. And then when it goes on the water, then the other team is basically spying to find out what their competitor's doing, if there's something more innovative or interesting that they want to incorporate in their design. But this year, something is happening. This America's Cup, because it's not just this year, but something's happening that's very different, in that they have assigned one reconnaissance team that is giving information to all the teams as to what happened. So that reconnaissance team is assigned by the whole race of the America's Cup, and then they reveal all the information watching each of these teams as they take their boats, like in Pensacola or in Barcelona, you know, out on the water, and then test them, and then they're like looking at, oh, what did they do with that foil? That looks different than what we've done. You know, is it working? You know, so they're looking at all those different things and deciding what they can learn from each other to be faster so that they can win.
Speaking with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, Paul Kiard is a guy that we've had here in studio. He was executive director of U.S. Sailing, and he resigned. He didn't like the way the sport was going, and apparently he wanted to separate the Olympic sailing team from U.S. sailing. And the thing was, it's like, look, every 4 years, Americans can get excited about the World Cup, even if they don't like soccer, or the Americans can get excited about the Ryder Cup or the Olympics, because there's nationalism and there's U.S. colors and a U.S. flag. What was the beef, if you know, between U.S. Olympic sailing and U.S. sailing?
Well, U.S. sailing is the governing body for the United States for the sport of sailing in the Olympics, but it goes much further than that. And I know U.S. sailing intimately because I set up a U.S. sailing accredited school during the pandemic, which then became a nonprofit called Sailing Portal. And also, we've had Rich Jepson, the president of the board of directors for U.S. Sailing, on our show, and he's somebody who happens to be someone I know. And I would say that the U.S. Sailing organization is led by that effort to support the Olympics, but it is also something where they need all of the support of the schools and other people that are feeding people into that sport, and also supporting through financial means and through fan base and with the safe sport activities and so forth. So I'm actually of the opinion that the Olympics part of it should not be separated from the U.S. sailing part, because I can see how everything integrates together and how it's a system. And I really think it's a great system, and it's actually the envy of many other countries, because U.S. sailing is outstanding in what they're doing for the sport of sailing, not just in the Olympics, but in preparation for that and all the other ways in which people sail, either on boats that go by wind or by power.
The California Dreamin' series was just this weekend in San Francisco at Stage 2. Nicole Brio and her Vela Racing team beat out 7 other competitors. The first round was at the end of January at San Diego Yacht Club. This one this weekend, St. Francis Yacht Club. And April 1st and 2nd, they'll conclude Series 3 from Long Beach. They'll head out to Catalina, which sounds pretty cool. What can you tell us more about the California Dreamin' series, which was here in San Francisco this weekend?
Well, one thing I can say is that the St. Francis Yacht Club is definitely a prime center, both St. Francis and Golden Gate Yacht Club, for being able to have that great space right in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, where the wind is coming in through the slot, and we call it the slot because the wind comes in under the gate and it goes all the way to the Berkeley Yacht Club from that area. And it's just a really exciting place to race. It's very challenging. And there's also that, you had mentioned to me that you would love to go to the SailGP spectator area, which is right there between the St. Francis and the Golden Gate Yacht Club, because it's a great viewing place. So you get a lot of people who come.
I said I wanted sushi, free beer, and swag too.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I'm sure that we can arrange it. I'm not sure which alcoholic beverage it will be, but I can ask for a special request. Just like, if we can have only the black jelly beans in the green room, mm-hmm. for a celebrity entertainer, we can certainly have sushi and sake for you.
Before we let you go, I was looking at something that I've heard about, and I actually looked at it, and I don't know. I mean, this is probably something that you don't know about as a Californian yourself, but ice sailing that they do on the Great Lakes, it's almost like just riding on a very thin ski. Have you ever seen any of that or tried that at all, especially because it can be hazardous, obviously, on the ice?
Actually, the ice sailing is one of the ways in which some of the teams were testing the foiling, the concept for the foiling boats, even though it's not foiling. It's still a similar wing design. Because any time that you're using the wind to power a vessel, whether it's on ice or on liquid or solid water, right, the principles are very similar. And yes, I have seen it, and it is quite interesting and exciting to see that racing. They usually do that on smaller boats, vessels. I'm actually not sure what they call that. What they call the particular type of vessel that goes on ice. Did you see in your looking at that what it was called?
I did not.
Okay, but I have seen it. I've seen videos of it. I haven't seen it in person, but I know that it is important for testing for the design, as well as the sport itself. It's very interesting.
Karen Lyle, check out more, sailsporttalk.com. Karen joins us every week at 9:40 Pacific, and thanks for coming by again.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you next week from either, I think I'll probably be in London.
All right, you'll be on with Dom next. I'll be in Phoenix. You'll be on with Dom next Tuesday.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, you Globetrotter. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.